More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready for Smart Money Happy Hour. Pull up a chair. It's the happy hour you wish your friends were having.
Mix two money experts with some hot takes and a splash of nostalgia, and you get me, George Camel.
And me, Rachel Cruz, talking unfiltered about what's going on in the world, pop culture, and how to afford a life you love.
We're talking money, celebrity budgets, and my budget for my two French bulldogs. It's a lot.
You'll hear it all on Smart Money Happy Hour. Listen on the iHeart app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Shoulder to shoulder, shields high. Welcome to the Buck Sexton Show.
Team, welcome to the Freedom Hut Thursday, December 1st edition of the program. We have a lawyer who was fired from her massive law firm, very influential one, because she publicly agreed that the Supreme Court decision on Dobbs was right and spoke about her views of the Dobbs decision. So they fired her and have basically destroyed a 40-year legal career. The wokeness has infected law schools. It has also infected law firms. We will discuss. We will get into that. FTX crypto in continued meltdown. But isn't it fascinating that the New York Times had him speak at their big, important conference? And they even clapped for him at the end because, wow, it's so brave after he's stolen, it seems, allegedly, billions of dollars from people. It's kind of a big deal. I think it's kind of a big deal. And then the Biden administration hypocrisy on Apple versus Twitter. Which one is a concern to this White House? Oh, you will want to hear that, my friends. But, you know, MyPillow is an amazing company. We're going to get into all that other stuff in a second. But I want to make sure you're sleeping well every night. You're super comfortable and things are going just great for you. And MyPillow is so helpful in all of that because they've got great deals for you right now on the pillows, Giza Dream Sheets, Body Pillow. Got to try one of those. A lot of fun. Mattress Topper. You got to check out the Mattress Topper. It makes you sleep so much better. And I've got all these products at home. You should check them out, too. So here's what I'd say. If you don't have one yet, get yourself a pair of the Giza Dream Sheets. They're ultra soft and breathable, extremely durable. The Giza Dream Sheets right now are at their lowest price ever, coming in as low as $29.98 with promo code BUCK. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty, and now for the holiday season, they're extending their 60-day money-back guarantee. So just go to MyPillow.com, click on Radio Listener Specials, check out this flash sale on the Giza Dream Sheets right now. Make sure you use promo code BUCK for this and many other great limited-time specials. MyPillow.com, promo code BUCK. Now, the op-ed here from the Wall Street Journal is no dissent on abortion allowed at Hogan Lovells. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but whatever. Global law firm that fired this author, fired this woman who wrote the op-ed. His name is Keller, Robin Keller, because she agreed with the decision in Dobbs. So just so we understand where we are as a country right now, because I think it's very important. They've gotten rid of the LSAT as a requirement now for law schools. So they'll just take whoever they want to take. Merit, actual ability, intellectual excellence. These things not going to matter as much in the legal profession, which is troubling to a lot of people, especially if you really need a lawyer, like to defend you, or if you're being frivolously sued. You know, there's some real problems that come from the law, and people need smart lawyers. So now you're going to have lawyers that are increasingly coming from the top law schools, and they're not that smart, but this is all necessary for diversity and inclusion and equity and all these other things we always hear about. And you say, that's an issue. It's also an issue that the top law firms themselves are very woke. They very much are dominated by, even if it's only a handful of people who are really, you know, pushing this stuff, they're dominated by the whiniest of the woke, who cannot even begin to accept that there are people that have different points of view. So let me take you into what happened here in with this woman, Keller, Robin Keller. She said that she was on, I'm gonna read some of this to you. After the Supreme Court issued its Dobbs decision overturning Roe v. Wade in June, global law firm Hogan Lovells organized an online conference call for female employees, she writes. This is in the Wall Street Journal. As a retired equity partner still actively serving clients, I was invited to participate in what was billed as a safe space for women at the firm to discuss the decision. It might have been a safe space for some, but it wasn't safe for me. Everyone who spoke on the call was unanimous in their anger and outrage about Dobbs. I spoke up to offer a different view. I noted that many jurists and commentators believe Roe had been wrongly decided. Oh, by the way, just stopping the quote for a second. Of course, Roe was garbage law. Indefensibly bullcrap law. Whether you believe abortion should be a thing in this country or in a state or not, Roe was garbage. We're just going to make it up. We're going to say it's there and it's not there. This undermines the very basis of law, of language. If something can be there that's not there, then what's the point of having anything there in the first place? You get where I'm going? That's what Roe was. Just fabricated. A fabricated right. We all know it. Oh, but they want it so much. So important to be able to abort babies. People are psychos. Anyway, here you go. As a retired equity partner still actively serving clients, yada, yada. Everyone else spoke up, said it was. I said the court was right to remand the issue to the states. I added that I thought abortion rights advocates had brought much of the pushback against Roe on themselves by pushing extreme policies. Now, let me just stop there for a second. Yeah, they pushed insane policies. They will argue openly that abortion advocates will argue that it's necessary for all 9 months of a pregnancy. There can be no limitations on abortion whatsoever. And that a baby is not a baby in the ninth month, a baby that is even ready to enter the world and leave the mother's womb is not actually a baby. These people are, this is crazy. I mean, this is child sacrifice stuff. And they'll argue it openly. Some of them will even, there were whole shout your abortion hashtag movements and other things. So they've gone from safe, legal, and rare to this is a great thing that should be celebrated. And it's heinous and it's wrong and it's immoral. So abortion extremism comes from the pro-abortion side. That much has been the case for a long time. Anyway, she goes on to say, I refer to numerous reports of disproportionately high rates of abortion in the black community, which some have called a form of genocide. I said I thought this was tragic. The outrage was immediate. The next speaker called me a racist and demanded that I leave the meeting. Other participants said they lost their ability to breathe. That's a quote on hearing my comments. After more of the same, I hung up. Someone made a formal complaint to the firm. Later that day, Hogan Lovells suspended my contracts, cut off my contact with clients, removed me from email and document systems, and emailed all U.S. personnel saying that a forum participant had made anti-black comments and was suspended pending an investigation. The firm also released a statement to the legal website Above the Law, bemoaning the devastating impact my views had on participants in the forum, most of whom were lawyers participating in a call convened expressly for the purposes of discussing a controversial legal and political topic. Someone leaked my name to the press. I filed my own complaint with the firm's general counsel office, alleging the firm and those who had attacked me on the call had violated the company's anti-harassment policy. Hogan Lovells hired another firm to conduct an outside investigation. 3 weeks later, I received a letter stating the firm had concluded that my reference to comments labeling black abortion rate genocide was a violation of the anti-harassment policy. So she was her complaint was dismissed. She was terminated. She was fired. They fired her. Yeah, that's how this all went down. And I can tell you that I know of another law firm where someone raised the issue in the hiring process of, well, why am I'm not able to grade certain minorities in the hiring process when they do the evaluations the same way I would other applicants. Why is that our policy? That person was fired. That didn't make the news, but I knew of that happening. So this is the environment that we're operating in, friends. Because the argument that she made there about how there's a disproportionately high rate of abortion that occurs within the black community is, one, statistically, absolutely a fact. It's just a fact of numbers, reality, truth. And that this is deeply unsettling, immoral, and really a point of despair for many people who look at this as the murder of now millions of preborn black children that has occurred through the abortion industry. This is an argument that has been made for a long time, and it is rooted in fact and numbers. And I can assure you that at least some of the people who are outraged on the call are white female liberals who are the most devoted partisans of abortion you will ever find. They're the ones that are the true believers. They're the high priests of the abortion church, and as demonic as it may be. And the fact that you can't even agree with a Supreme Court decision, though, as a lawyer, think about that. I think the Supreme Court decision was right. You're fired. Shut up. This is a major law firm. This is a big-time law firm that people in New York and D.C. come across on a regular basis. I think they're mostly D.C.-based. But they're a big-deal law firm. And you can't have an adult conversation about the law there without getting ruined and destroyed after 40 years serving as a partner at this firm. Think about that. Because people are so, because look, I think it's likely that there are people on that phone call who either themselves or have spouses or, you know, family members who have had abortions, and they just don't want to hear that it's anything other than something to be celebrated. And that's really tragic and really, really sad. And there's a rage, there's an anger that comes from that. They don't want to be exposed to any truth about this. They want to believe what they believe. But when all of our institutions of power and influence and wealth are effectively controlled by this Bolshevik style minority of far left wingers, we're heading for a deeply dysfunctional society. This is also why they get so upset about Elon Musk taking one of their favorite propaganda tools away from them, which I certainly want to talk to you about, as well as the FTX crypto situation. We will get into that, my friends, in a second. But what happens when cyber criminals get your information from the dark web? Well, the way it goes down, actually, is there's a big data breach, sometimes millions and millions of customer personal identifiable information gets leaked. And then when that data breach happens, they find this stuff, they put this stuff on the dark web, they'll sell it, huge tranches of your personal identifiable information. And then that's how they get your credit card. That's how they get your name and your info to take out loans and credit cards in your name. And you got a big problem when this happens. It's important to understand how identity theft are affecting all of our lives. That's why I have LifeLock. I've had LifeLock for years. Protecting your identity can be easy with LifeLock by Norton. LifeLock detects and alerts you to potential identity threats you may not spot on your own, like loans taken out in your name you didn't know about. If you do become a victim of identity theft, a dedicated U.S.-based LifeLock restoration specialist will work to fix it. Now, no one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but it's easy to help protect yourself with LifeLock. Join now. Save up to 25% off your first year with promo code BUCK. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com and use promo code BUCK for 25% off. That's 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com. Make sure you use that promo code BUCK for 25% off. Now, let's talk a little about Sam Bankman-Fried, actually. Let's go to Sam Bankman-Fried for a second. This guy spoke at the big New York Times conference, their annual conference they have with the fancy libs. I think actually Mike Pence spoke at it this year, so there's that. But they're generally it's Zelensky, people like that, and Sam Bankman-Fried is a fascinating case study because the media has no hostility to him whatsoever. I mean, this guy may have been running and may end up going to prison for a long time because of it, a massive Ponzi scheme that effectively would have, if this is what happened, taken billions of dollars of people's money and just made it disappear. Spent it on things, invested in things, or it went to zero. Money's gone. And usually you'd think there'd be a lot of outrage about this. Think about the amount of outrage, for example, that the media conjures up on somebody who spent 5 minutes, and I mean 5 minutes, inside of the Capitol building on January 6th. Didn't hurt anyone, didn't attack anyone, didn't do anything, but they were there. They were part of that mob. The media will hunt that person down to the ends of the earth. And they'll literally hunt them down insofar as they'll help track them down if they can. They'll help the FBI, right? They think that that's really fair and that person should spend time in prison. Sam Bankman-Fried has taken billions of dollars of wealth and destroyed it. Money that people gave him. It's a lot of those are going to be people who are wealthy, but not all of them. And some of it's pension money. And this is really destructive. And they are not angry at all. In fact, at the end of the New York Times conference, they actually clapped for this guy. Like, yay, thank you, Sam, for showing up. Can we play the... This is at this New York Times, you know, Big Ideas Conference or whatever they call it. Play it.
On behalf of everybody here and on behalf of the public, I want to thank you for engaging in it at a time, in truth, when I know you've been advised not to. So thank you so very, very much. Thank you. Sam Bankman-Fried, everybody.
Sam Bankman-Fried, everybody, doing a great job. The Deal Book Summit, they call this thing, by the way. It's ridiculous. He's basically just going to tell everybody. He's telling everybody that he is so dumb that he... Remember, this guy went to MIT. He was a genius, going to be the world's first trillionaire. Now he's like, I'm just really stupid. I was just like a little cocky, he says. Play clip 16 here. $32 billion he was worth. Now they say he's worth, he says, he claims he's worth $100,000. I'm sure he stashed money all over the place. But play 16.
You said one of your great talents in a podcast was managing risk.
That's right. And
that's obviously wrong.
Well, I think that there is something maybe even deeper wrong there, which was I wasn't even trying. Like, I wasn't spending any time or effort trying to manage risk on FTX. And that obviously...
That's a stunning admission.
What?
That's a pretty stunning admission.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say. Like, what happened, happened. And, like, if I had been spending an hour a day thinking about risk management on FTX, I don't think that would have happened. I think I stopped working as hard for a bit. You know, honestly, if I look back on myself, I think I got a little cocky. Maybe more than a little bit.
I think I got a little cocky, and I think that being a polyamorous vegan with billions of dollars at his disposal, living in like a sex party commune in the Bahamas with a bunch of other Dungeons & Dragons nerds, I think that maybe that was a bad idea, but, you know, overall, I just got a little cocky.
Wow. Media's not angry at this guy, though. They're giving him the chance. Remember, he's able to run all this PR, all this talking. He can sit down with George Stephanopoulos. He's I don't remember the guy's name, but the New York Times guy from the Deal Book Summit. And this is what they're doing. They're letting this guy tell this story, and effectively it's, yeah, man, just made a couple mistakes. I didn't really do anything wrong. I didn't know. And oh, by the way, now he's saying that he wasn't donating to one party to beat the other party in the general elections. He was the Democrats' second biggest donor in this last midterm. Play clip 11. This is important, I think, because, you know,
my donations were mostly for pandemic prevention, and they were looking at primary elections where there were candidates who were outspoken in favor of doing things now to prevent the next pandemic. That was the primary thing that I was supporting with those contributions. And, you know, it was on both sides of the aisle, primarily operating both primaries, because I wasn't viewing it as a partisan exercise. I was not. You know, most of this was not looking at donating to one party to beat the other one in the general elections here, you know, is not only was it on both sides, but even within each side, it was between two candidates in the same party, and he was looking at pandemic policy.
So, okay, a few things here, because they're now saying, oh, originally they're saying it's not even a story that he was the second biggest Democrat donor. Another thing, see, it's a story because he donated to Republicans too. Well, which is it? Do the donations matter or not matter? That's to start with that. But even beyond that, all right, so was he doing donations to Republicans in the primary so that bad Republicans could win, which did happen, by the way, in those primaries, unfortunately. Was he part of that plan? Just wondering. I don't know. I'd have to look at who he gave money to and where. But also, what's clearly the case is that he was paying off these politicians with donations as a form of insurance in case this happened, which really is inevitable when you think about it, given the way this guy was running the company that he had. So, yeah, it's effectively legalized bribery. It's what this guy was doing. Yeah. And then there's the Apple Elon throwdown, which looks like it's not going to happen now. They figured out the App Store is not going to take Twitter down. I think that Tim Cook realized it wasn't a fight he wanted to pick right now. But this is fascinating. Here is Martha McCallum speaking to Kirby, who's a spokesman for the Biden administration. And here she is saying, why does this White House have such a problem with Twitter, but then Apple shuts down AirDrop for the Chinese protesters, and the White House is very kind of, you know, not such a big deal about it. Listen to Martha, take him to task.
Why not say something to Apple? Because we were just told the other day that the White House is keeping an eye on Elon Musk and Twitter. So why would you say that from the podium? You didn't say it, but Karine Jean-Pierre said it, and not call Apple out for helping the Chinese government to suppress their own people's ability to communicate.
Again, I think we've been very clear and consistent on this. Certainly publicly, we've been very open about our desires to be able to see citizens communicate. And, you know, Apple, if this is a decision that they're making, then they should have to speak to that. But we can't and we aren't in the business of telling private companies how to execute their initiatives.
Yeah, but Twitter's a private company too. So why is Twitter getting one treatment and Apple's getting another is my question.
Well, those are completely two different circumstances. You're talking about the potential, the potential for perhaps foreign investment and involvement in the management of Twitter. That's a different issue than what we're talking about here, which is a business decision by Apple.
Blather. Total blather. But what else are they going to say? Our power is threatened here at home by Twitter, and we don't really care what the Chinese do abroad, because that's the truth. That's how the Democrats really think. Thanks for rolling here today, team. Make sure you subscribe to the Rumble channel. If you listen to the podcast, rumble.com/BuckSexton. And we are working on the tech here. As you can see, it's getting a little bit better lighting, everything else. The studio, we're building this pirate ship as we sail it. And we're going to have guests soon and be expanding the show and doing fun things. So look forward to that. So just be patient with me. We'll keep building it out. And thanks to all of you. We're doing well. Talk to you tomorrow. Shields high.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been helping America's heroes and their families since 9/11. Hero first responders and service members who serve our communities and our country. Those who die in the line of duty or are catastrophically injured. Veterans who fought for our nation's freedom only to return home, fall in tough times, and become homeless. Heroes like Buffalo, New York firefighter Jason Arno and his family. Arno was killed while protecting his community, battling a warehouse fire. He left behind his wife and a young daughter. In their darkest hour, Tunnel to Towers provided Arno's wife and daughter with a mortgage-free home. The foundation lifted a financial burden, enabling them to stay in the home where they made memories with their hero. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. Support the families of America's greatest heroes. The families of fallen first responders like Jason Arno, plus Gold Star families with young children, catastrophically injured service members, and homeless veterans. Donate $11 a month at t2t.org. That's t2t.org.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.